You're listening to the Boom Podcast, brought to you by Southside Broadcasting in association with Boom Pods EDCO NRG Cycling Team, the team that rock.
It just sets up a frisson of excitement, doesn't it, Tony McDonough, every time we actually hear those words?
I think you've got that nailed on as a jingle, yes.
Frisson
of
excitement.
Bit of overfuse in the background and...
Tremendous.
Cinematic.
Genuinely tremendous. In fact, almost as tremendous as actually hearing...
The race for the cafe.
But we'll find out more about that later, because that actually connects with one of the guests, etc. within that, and we don't want to over-egg the pudding.
When you get your own jingle, then you really have
exactly. Many people have been waiting years, Tony Rees, to actually receive this accolade, and whoosh, you know, it's in there. We'll hear the full version before your thoughts on the Race for the Cafe feature and the history of Stockton cycling later on in this very podcast. So welcome to the production. Anyway, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Marvellous. And online, as if we were, you know, able to actually add any more fantastic stuff to the whole system, we have the marketing director for the tour series, in which we'll be name-checking Redditch, Motherwell, Aberdeen, Durham, to name but four wonderful places and times. That would be the awesome Peter Hodges. How are you, Peter?
I'm very good, thank you. And with an introduction like that, and it's a sunny Friday afternoon, how could I not be good?
Well, there you go. So where do we find you at present, Peter? I mean, apart from on the end of your mobile somewhere in the British Isles.
I'm in the boardroom of our offices, which are down in Surrey. So those that know the Brooklands motor racing circuit, or former motor racing circuit, and of course somewhere that's linked to the history of cycling, our offices are just off the edge of that, so down in Surrey.
So clearly a wonderful place as well, with just a matter of time before blue plaques are actually erected there to actually say Peter Hodges' offices are here.
Lots of other colleagues as well, of course.
Tony McDonough, I've been looking at the tourseries.co.uk website, and there's lots of exciting stuff there. What's it all about?
Yeah, for us, when we set up sort of 18 months ago, is one of the big race targets was the tour series to get involved in. We didn't quite manage that last year, so it was the main priority of this season was to ensure that we're in that, because it's a prestigious and the kudos that it carries as a series. We have been successful in getting that. We're about to unveil a squad of 12 riders that will take part in all the rounds. We're very, very excited to be involved. We're making his debut at it. We hope we impress Peter and his team, and I'm sure we'll enjoy it throughout the month of May.
Peter, over to yourself. When the application came in, did you think, yes, of course, we've got to have Tony McDonough's team and side on board, etc.? Or was it a case of, oh, those Northerners, are they going to be able to cope with trips down to Stevenage in Wembley Park?
No, not at all. I say we recognised the team name from last year, and it's a team that we do see a lot of publicity about. I mean, myself and colleagues, we're all cycling fans, so you know we do read the various cycling magazines, cycling websites, and keep up to date on the British scene. So it was a team we were aware of last year, and there, I think as Tony said, you know, it was a team that possibly could have ridden last year, but the first year, well, realistic, it's quite a big undertaking, eight events around the whole of the UK in 1 month when riders have got work commitments, other races, and some of them studying and so forth. So, no, team that we sort of have followed their growth from last year, obviously the various announcements around the sponsors, and also I think a team that seems to be presenting themselves, you know, very well in terms of, you know, I'll admit I've not seen them race, but I recognise the name, the sponsors, the brands involved. So looking forward to seeing them in action come the opening round at Redditch.
Which, of course, comes around on the 10th of May. So literally just 6 days after Star Wars Day. I'm sorry, I have to get at least one May the 4th be with you joke in at least, you know, once every year or so. But that's where it all kicks off. You can clearly go to tourseries.co.uk and see the excitement of the 2017 Tour Series. But Peter, give us a bit of the background in terms of how you came up with this whole notion, and how, as the 21st century develops, you could forget the Tour de France. It's going to be the Tour Series that's going to really sort of impact in terms of cycling internationalism.
Well, fingers crossed. So this year is the 10th edition of the Tour Series. It was started back in 2009. The company I work for, Sweet Spot, we also organised the Men's Tour of Britain, and now the Women's Tour as well. So it started out with that sort of boom period of cycling. There were more places that wanted cycling events than could have cycling events. And some of them, you know, towns and city centres, they want the whole race. They don't just want a start or a finish and have the race disappearing off into the Welsh hills or the Worcestershire countryside. So for somewhere like Redditch, which arguably is a sort of reasonably small provincial town, this is a chance to put themselves on the sporting calendar through having a whole event in their town city centre. So launched back in 2009, initially just as a men's series, and the format was unique. It was all about the team. So yes, we've still got an individual winner, first rider across the line, but it's about the teams and all of the, for the first time in any cycling series, it wasn't one yellow jersey presented to the overall leader. It was five jerseys presented to the whole of that team. We've gone through various colours for those jerseys, and now this year they're going to be green jerseys with our sponsors Oval Energy. So the series launched back in 2009 with the aim of being a bit different, focusing on the teams and giving these teams that we've got in this country a platform to promote them and their sponsors. Started with men initially in 2009. We had a first one-off women's race in 2010, which became a series the following year. So the women's series has been running 8 years, the men's 10 years, but this is the 10th year of the Tour Series coming to town and city centres around the country. And I've lost count of exactly how many events we've now done, but I think we've visited, we were working out the other day, I think 35 or 36 by the end of this year's series, different locations across England, Scotland, Wales, and also Ireland since 2009.
Tony Rees, as a historian and scholar and keen cyclist as well, and indeed the programme's Race for the Cafe blogger, any questions or thoughts from yourself?
Well, I'm delighted to see that, that Durham's on the list of locations for the Tour Series this year, because it's absolutely a highlight of the North East cycling year. The course at Durham is absolutely spectacular, the setting's spectacular, and there's always a fantastic atmosphere there, so I'll certainly be at Durham watching the race in there.
It's just the 22nd of May. It's a very hectic period, Tony. I mean, looking at the sort of the first few fixtures alone, 10th of May, Redditch, then Scotland for the 15th of May with Motherwell, staying in Scotland for the 17th of May in Aberdeen, Durham, of course, the 22nd of May, and then over to Wales on the 26th of May for Aberystwyth. Sarah Walker's got her work cut out for her, hasn't she?
It's a big logistical ask as well as a physical ask. For the riders and the support guys involved, it's sort of schedule. If you pull that in front of a footballer, they'd probably run a mile with the amounts of mileage.
Surely Sheffield Wednesday footballers would actually sort of say, "Yeah, bring it on."
Well, we're hard into that, yes. But certain other teams, not mentioning any. But what I was curious to ask Peter was, it in the planning stage of not necessarily the rounds that you've got there, but if you see a particular town that maybe's not held the series before. How does it go about you going to that town and saying, do you fancy a cycle race?
Do the towns bid for the actual series?
It happens in various different ways. So we get approached directly by towns and cities and counties as well, because some of these events are actually hosted, although they're in a town, by a county council. So inevitably, especially once the series is underway, or the men's tour of Britain or the women's tour, you get the sort of phone calls out of the blue to the office, or the emails, or the even nowadays via social media, of course, people going, how could we get this in our town or in our city? We've also, obviously, through the number of events we organise, got very good links to an awful lot of local authorities around the country. So both the ones we're working with this year, the ones we've worked with in the past, and even some new ones that we'll be working with in 2019 and 2020 that we've never worked with before. So we've probably touched on most towns and cities around the UK at some point with an event, but a lot of work does go into it, both as I've mentioned, people approach us, but also we have to approach them. So it's a case of finding out who the right people in these local authorities are. It's not always the logical person. It's not a sort of cycling development officer. Sometimes it might be we get intelligence that the chief executive is a massive cycling fan, or perhaps there is a big push in local transport to get people cycling. Other places it may come for a tourism angle, and they want to have an event for promoting cycle tourism or promoting the place through the TV coverage. So lots of different ways why someone wants it, and it's down to us to try and look at that map of British Isles, look at all the local authorities, unitary authorities, and go, we've not spoken to them in a while, or we've heard a lot about such and such having a new cycle hire scheme. Perhaps this could link into it. So a lot of intelligence gathering, research and planning goes into it, and also a lot of miles and a lot of phone calls to meet and present these ideas to people. And we're always trying to work sort of 18 months to 2 years ahead. So as I've mentioned, there's places I know where we're going with one of our events in 2019 and 2020 that aren't on any of our calendars this year.
So who decides the actual race course? Do they invite you to the town and you use your expertise to plot a course, or is that in the hands of the council?
Our race director, Mick Bennett, has been involved in cycling, he says over 35 years, which is basically all of his life, obviously as a former rider and then a team manager and now race director. So lots of these places, while we as a company, as Sweet Spot, may not have been there and organised a criterium in in one of these locations, there's probably been a race there at some point in time. So Mick will often be like, oh, I remember coming here in the 1980s for a Kellogg's crit, and this was the course. Obviously, lots of towns and city centres you go to nowadays, and they've changed drastically, whether through pedestrianisation or making things more cycle-friendly, which, ironically, making somewhere cycle-friendly for commuting doesn't always work for a bike race. So sometimes places will have an idea and say, look, we really want to start or finish outside our town hall or feature this park. And sometimes we'll go, oh, this is the sort of traditional course that has always been raced on in this location. And sometimes in some very small locations, it's a case of going, that is the course. There aren't other opportunities. In the smaller places we go to, I always remember Aylsham, a small village in Norfolk that hosted a round. It was basically, I think we used pretty much every road in the town and landlocked it for the day. So sometimes geography dictates where the route goes.
I'm interested to see that we've got, obviously, Wales, England and Scotland there. Any plans or thoughts about Northern Ireland?
Well, it's funny, we've been back in, 2010, I think, from memory. We did a one-off race in Belfast and in Dublin with Cycling Ireland, and that was sort of at the time when you had the Tour of Ireland and a real boom time to the Irish economy. Obviously, since then, things have changed slightly, and
don't mention the B word, please.
Yeah, no,
keep away from that.
No, we won't talk about that. But there are obviously other bigger things at play than bike racing. But certainly, I mean, Northern Ireland is very much part of the United Kingdom. It'd be fantastic to go back there with one of our events. It is a logistical challenge. I know we've had events on the Isle of Man, Jersey, and the Isle of Wight, and I know, as Tony was saying, that the Tour Series, there is quite a logistical cost and headache to it for teams and for ourselves. And I think if we suddenly put a round in Belfast, not everyone would take to that so kindly as perhaps cycling fans in Northern Ireland, but certainly you can never say never.
And do you cycle yourself, or is it a case of, no, I need to coordinate and work on the whole system, I let my minions do the cycling tests?
I'm probably not the biggest cyclist in the office. In fact, I'm definitely not. We've got a lot of very keen cyclists in the office. Our route director, race director, so forth, have raced and or do race at various levels. Lots of very keen cyclists. I do ride a bit, not as much as I should or would like to. Very much a fair weather cyclist and tend to avoid anything resembling a hill.
Well, or get somebody to cycle for you, a sort of rickshaw approach, it's a different line. And of the ones we've spoken about, Redditch, Motherwell, Aberdeen, Durham, Aberystwyth, Stevenage, of course, is up there. Are there varying challenges? Do they all have different challenges? Do you look for a kind of specific challenge? Are there any ones there which your competitor might turn around and say, I wish we hadn't got to do this today?
Well, I think, as again, the guys have mentioned, Durham is the one that we've had men's races at before for a number of years, and South Street in Durham, the cobbled climb there, is every year when you go back, you go, I'm sure this has got steeper than last year, or perhaps I've got less fit. So we've got a women's race there for the first time. That's a really challenging circuit. Redditch, the opening round, the fantastically named Unicorn Hill in Redditch is a stiff climb, and we're doing that repeatedly every time. It soon adds up. Aberdeen, absolutely pancake flat circuit, but it's incredibly quick. So all of the circuits have different characteristics. Stevenage is a real speed bowl. And then our penultimate event at Wembley Park, we had an event there last year, and everyone knows the stadium. Well, this year we're back again. It's our penultimate round of this year's series, and that is going to be a surprisingly hard circuit with a fairly decent climb up the historic sort of Wembley Way. So that's one to also look out for.
before, of course, the Wembley Way is demolished for a set of footsteps and stairs, which presumably would be great for cyclists to actually cycle up and down the stairs and the steps that they're actually putting into that place there. Still, never mind. Don't get me started on the planning of Wembley Stadium and how they're saying it was an eyesore. No, it's not. It's good for cycling. Tony Rees, the cobbles in Durham. Do you think that's... Would you seem to be nodding and saying, yes, those are going to be a challenge.
I totally agree with what Peter says. It's incredible that anybody can ride up those cobbles in Durham, and the crowds on there on the 22nd of May will be sort of six deep on either side. The riders are so close to the spectators that the atmosphere is tremendous, and there's a really difficult corner at the bottom as well, which sort of adds some extra spice to the circuit. So yeah, Durham is
so not one for the amateurs then.
Absolutely not. No, you really need to know what you're doing to race around there.
I shall not be making my debut on the Durham circuit then. Mental note. Peter, it's been sensational touching base with your good self today. Tourseries.co.uk, the best place to go to find out further details.
Yes, that is the place. There's some of the information on there now, and next week we will have information on all of the eight locations. There'll be a new promo video and lots of stuff to come between now and the 10th of May, so check it out.
You're wrapped up in your fever, a faded dream. A faded dream believer. You look like a storm in flight, tearing down another nowhere night. Where and why you can't go, where and why you can, just do it for yourself, not for any man. Where and why you can't go, where and why you can, before you fall, take your stand. Where and why you can.
I'll say that again. Wear it while you can. By whom?
By the fabulous Owen Glacken.
Indeed.
And there's a very good backstory to that single, actually, because it's about the 1960 Boston Marathon, where women weren't allowed to compete in it.
Unbelievable.
And a woman competitor lined up and ran the race, and she got basically wrestled to the pavement by the organiser. And out of it grew that song from Owen about it.
You see, I can't see Peter Hodges wrestling Sarah Walker to the ground just on the basis that she's feeling.
Well, he could try.
He could try. He's not going to succeed, is he, Sarah?
Well, I am very good at an arm wrestle, so I doubt it.
Yeah, there we are. That's a classic point. Welcome, Sarah Walker, Boom Pods rider, and, of course, about to compete in the Tour Series. Now, we've been trying to find out some information with Peter Hodges about the Tour Series, etc. Redditch, apparently, Unicorn Hill. is the challenging aspect of that. I mean, have you, I won't say walked the course, because it's not as though you're doing 3-day eventing here. That's real horseback. You're on a 2-wheel bike. But have you checked out the courses? The cobbles in Durham apparently are legendary for their, or notorious even, for their level of challenge.
I've got to say Unicorn Hill, that's a pretty inspiring name. No, I haven't actually got around to checking the individual courses yet, but I'm familiar with Motherwell at least. I've done that in the support events in a couple of years in a row, so that should be good.
Apparently Stevenage has a speed bowl, Wembley is very quick,
yeah.
As indeed is Aberdeen. That's also down for sort of quick-based courses from
there. Lots of granite. You would have thought.
I would have thought so, exactly. And of course, where Alex Ferguson started off his managerial glory time, shall we say. No, I mentioned that, but still. Sarah, talk to us about what you're looking forward to as we approach the Tour Series, starting at Redditch. Is it a case of now you're in that high training program and everything's sort of being geared up for success at all costs?
Yeah, I mean, I'm absolutely dead excited for it. I can't quite articulate how excited I am to do it. Yeah, I'm obviously in training at the moment, trying to get a bit of speed coming off the track and into the road season. So just getting on with that. I'm really looking forward to it.
Being part of the Boom Pod team, obviously Tony must be very pleased that Sarah's on the system, etc. Talk to us, Sarah, about how you actually joined up and give us a bit of your backstory so that when we're actually selling your life story to Steven Spielberg to actually have a follow-on to Ready Player One, Ready Cyclist One, see what I'm doing there, we can actually sort of think about the right casting, etc. How did you actually get into to racing from your own perspective?
Sure, well just to go back a sec, that's one of the amazing things about the Tour Series is the focus on the team element. So I think going in with a strong team is going to be a real advantage. But myself, I guess I got into it fairly recently in the grand scheme of things, quite late on in life as a 28-year-old woman. I mostly actually got into it by going down to Glasgow track and trying out the velodrome. And, you know, once you start, you can't stop. It's pretty addictive. And ended up doing some races, doing all right in them. And then my pal, Ellen McDermott, she said that you should join our team, which was then forming as Edco Continental, which is who we rode as last year, and here I am.
And the world's a better place as a result. Tony Rees, I'm a bit worried about these cobbles in Durham. I mean, have you got any tips for Sarah in terms of how to actually, you know, cope with that? Is it just a case of, well, cycle very carefully, don't worry about the sharp corners? What's your own perspective, Tony?
Well, I wouldn't really give Sarah any advice on cycling, but I think that the technique for Durham is to, if you're brave enough, take as much speed down the hill as you can. And take that speed into the corner. The only problem with that strategy is there's a tight bend at the bottom. So, getting the right line and avoiding the sort of hay bales on the outside. If you can do that, you've got a chance of getting up the hill and there carry a little bit of momentum with you. There is a sort of narrow line up the centre of the hill that's been painted. So that's the smoothest line up the hill that the top riders tend to take.
It sounds quite similar to a crit I did last year in Shrewsbury, which was that kind of cobbled section, sharp corner, then going up a hill. So it sounds like that should be good experience for.
I'm sure you'll take it in your stride, and so
this is good news. Tony McDonough, thoughts from yourself?
I'm just pleased to be able to say that we're part of the series, and especially with Sarah involved, because Sarah's one of those key riders in the series. We'll have a squad of 12. Across the 8 rounds.
I know an awful lot of folk who listen to the Boom podcast are keen cycling aficionados and they know all this, but let's say somebody's come across this as a novice and they're a little bit unsure. How are points accrued from this point of view? So, you know, we're starting off from Redditch, Motherwell, Aberdeen. How is it distributed?
There is. I'm not familiar with this year's system because they've changed it from last year, so I'm not exactly sure what they're implementing as in this year's event, because it's, I think they're bringing it in line with the men's, and I've not researched enough of the men's to know what the point system is on that side of it.
But broadly speaking, let's look back at last year as a model. What was the system then?
I couldn't tell you. Probably Sarah. Right. Sarah could probably answer that.
Sarah, you know, share with us.
So as it's, like I said, it's got that Team Focus, which is cool. So what they do to give it the team focus is they take the numbers of the top three scoring people in each team, and then the lowest points are accrued into a league, and it's sort of like a league, and then as a result, at the end of the series, you get a team winner, and you get a team winner on each night as well.
And Sarah, you will be that team winner. I'm sending out her positive vibes now. That will happen. No pressure. It's going to be wonderful on that sort of basis. Is there any one of the race dates that you're looking forward to? Because as I said, it's pretty much packed out May for yourself. 10th of May, 15th of May, 17th of May, 22nd of May, 26th, 28th, 29th of May. That one being the penultimate one at Wembley Park. Are there any of those which you're really looking forward to? Or is it a case of, I'm just looking forward to getting to the end?
No way. Like I said, I'm dead excited for them all. But having done Motherwell the past 2 years in the support races, I'd be lying if I'm saying I wasn't really looking forward to that one most. You know, I know how it's ridden. I know I've been there as a fan watching the pros before. So to be in that race is going to be something quite special.
It's going to be great. I think that pretty much wraps up. Tony, anything else?
There's one other bit of news, because Sarah did threaten that she might scream.
Do you know, you did actually, and you're quite right. You've reminded me.
I'll let you reveal it to Sarah.
I think Tony, it's time for you to actually sort of reveal this. You reminded me quite rightly. This actually deserves a double round of applause. So would you like to actually reveal the news, please?
We just wanted to announce to the world for the first time that Sarah Walker is a 2018 Tour de Yorkshire participant.
yay, and thrice yay. Well done, exactly.
Oh, so excited.
Was that something which was always in the game plan, Sarah, or is it a case of...
When I started cycling a few years ago, I was just a fan, and I've been to the Tour de Yorkshire myself in that element, standing by the side of the road with Black Sheep bitter in hand, and to think that I'm going to be one of those riders it's a dream.
Maybe not the Black Sheep this time around, yeah.
I was going to say, because I mean, I know Sarah's a very talented rider, but actually sort of riding whilst...
With a pint of Black Sheep, yeah.
It's taking the mickey, I think, you know. other riders will think, whoa, steady on. You know,
especially if you're leading as well.
Exactly. So well done on that, Sarah. And of course, I mean, presumably, it almost leads into that after this May Tour Series event, really.
Yeah, so that's obviously just at the beginning of it, and then... And crits, therefore, they're on.
It's going to be tremendous. Well, again, we salute you. We will hopefully connect with you as the whole tour proceeds. I mean, lots of exciting things from that perspective. Still to come on the podcast today, we've got Tony Rees's Race for the Cafe feature, The History of Stockton Cycling. Yay! But we've got another piece of magical music, and actually another record-breaking soul here, Tony. I can reveal this from that point of view. Because for the first time ever in the history of artists, we have someone who's not only just been about to be featured on the Boom podcast, but was also featured regularly on Sound and Country Vision. She co-hosts that with Siren Radio. She's been on the Midweek Drive from Siren Radio. She's covered a whole range of things. Literally is kind of on every single show, both Southside Broadcasting and indeed Siren Radio in Lincoln. I've actually been putting out across the sort of base, etc. She is the awesome Els Bailey. She's also recorded in Nashville. Funnily enough, and actually, I might invite Sarah to stay online with us and cast a critical ear over this thing.
Yeah, interesting.
I know a video has already been done for this. It was shot actually over in Arizona, I think, in Nashville actually. Spain. You're quite right.
Spain,
it was shot in Spain.
Spain, yes.
I'm thinking actually, this would be an ideal musical soundtrack for a kind of Michael Bay-esque theme of the Boom team, the Boom podcast team, cycling. And we could see this life story of Sarah Walker. I said earlier about who would be playing Sarah Walker. She might well play herself, of course. You know, why not? Slow motion walk to the bike is what I'm thinking. Yes. The whole thing is there with a sort of wispy morning dew sort of thing. So just before the start, and then it really builds to a major climax. That's my thought.
Then Sarah gets on the bike, slowly pedals into the distance,
and builds up into speed and a whole
kick into wildfire.
Exactly. So Sarah, bear that in mind whilst we're listening to Els Bailey.
Heard the people calling, heard them shout your name. Saw the fire blazing, saw them throw their blade. Well, I heard the stories, I've read them all before. Page by page, I turned them, watched you shut the door. The storm clouds, they are rolling in. Thunder has split the sky. Like a withered tree that once stood tall. I see through the lies, see through the lies. The heavens open and the sky explodes. Warm water on their burning fire. Ignore the stories, I know the truth. I can see it in your eyes, I can see it in your eyes. Like wildfire, throws mud on an unstained sheet. Unraveled, come undone, you're branded and broken and beat up. Mm-hmm. But the storm. Totally free. Come back once more. I will piece you back together, make you better than before. Come back to me, where the lies have no stick and where you're totally free. Come back once more. I will piece you back together, make you better than before.
Amazing. But it's all right me saying it's amazing. What does our ace cyclist, Sarah Walker, think about Els Bailey? Did it float your boat, Sarah?
Yeah, I definitely need to stick a couple of pistols in my jersey pocket. That was a soundtrack to my life.
I think we'll go with that, Els Bailey, obviously. I mean, what a wonderful team-up that would be, basically. The soundtrack of Els Bailey, Tony, with Boom Pod doing their stuff as well.
Yeah, I think it lends to a perfect backdrop for a video, I think, emerging through the mist. And
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take 10% of that for the concept that's recorded on that basis. Sarah, it's been fabulous touching base with your good self. We will hopefully see you as the season continues, and if we don't catch up with you during the first tour series, obviously Tour de Yorkshire, we're already speaking to the next winner, so that's great, you know, it's... good luck with that, Sarah, and we'll speak again very soon.
Yeah, cheers.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit ManilaPR.com now.
start of the programme, we launched with a little tease. We can now actually have the slightly fuller version of
The Race for the Cafe.com with Tony Rees.
It's wonderful. You know, that's full. I mean, you know, it's so wonderful, actually, Tony. I think we'd like to hear it again. Go on, let's go with it.
The Race for the Cafe.com with Tony Rees.
And there are lots of other ways. Sometimes he actually says the race for the cafe. It's amazing, you know, that we can. But enough of such stuff.
Like the boxing announcer.
Yes.
Let's get ready to rumble, guys.
Yeah. Exactly. And as we're in the non-sexist 21st century, we don't have any sort of girls wandering around with respect to which round we're actually in.
No.
Different line entirely. Still, I'll have to keep you on personal fantasies away from the programme in a different line. Tony Rees, as the jingle and I don't actually says, it's your part of the show now to share with us the history of Stockton cycling.
Yeah, I decided to look at, periodically I do some sort of historical stuff on the blog, just to sort of mix things up a little bit. And as Stockton has got such a rich cycling heritage, I thought it was about time I sort of did a little bit of a blog post on it. And it's quite interesting that, cycling in Stockton took off at the very earliest, stages of the development of cycling in the world, to be honest. And although Stockton Cycling Club, which are a really well-established club, with over 300 members, started in about 1916, there was a cycling club in Stockton some years before that, and, the first cycling club in Stockton was actually called the Stockton YMCA Cycling Club, which was formed in 1878, which was, I say, at the very earliest days of the development of cycling. And the cycling at that time, the bikes at that time, were all what were called the ordinary, which people would be more familiar with as a penny farthing, which were actually very, very difficult to ride, mainly because there's no way when you're riding a penny farthing that you can actually put your feet on the ground. So tuition had to be given to riders before they were allowed to ride with the cycling club. But this in itself presented a little bit of a problem because the working class person of the time couldn't afford to buy a bike of their own. So the club used to lend out bikes for people to practice on. So I talk about the history of cycling in Stockton, and you can't really consider cycling in Stockton without doing a little piece on the Taylor brothers, who were cycling frame builders in Stockton. And the three brothers were keen cyclists themselves and set up a frame building business and actually built their own factory to start the business off. And the frames became famous all around the world, particularly in America. They were very popular. And some of the frame designs that they came up with were extremely innovative for the time. And then I rounded the blog off with, I can't really talk about Stockton cycling without mentioning Stockton's most famous cycling son, who was Paul Curran, who was probably the best cyclist the North East ever produced, to be honest. And he's still involved in cycling in the area with his own cycle shop, and he's also chairman of Stockton Wheelers. And Paul was a Commonwealth Games gold medalist, actually, in Edinburgh, and that was one of the highlights of his career before he turned professional. So it's quite timely that just this morning we've had another Commonwealth Games gold medal winner from the region, because Charlie Tanfield this morning won a gold medal at the Gold Coast in Australia on the track, racing against another UK rider, John Alexander. So it's quite topical, really, that the Commonwealth Games is one of the themes of the blog at the moment. So in future, I'm going to do another look at cycling history, but I'm going to look at the history of women's cycling, because obviously the Boomcods team are right at the forefront of women's cycling at the moment. And there's a lot of interesting history about how women's cycling developed and the impact that cycling had on women's emancipation over the years.
Awesome. 3 W's, theracefothecafe.com is the best place to go to if you want to actually
that's where you'll find it, yeah.
A refrained version of the whole system there, but I think that it deserves another.
The Race for the Cafe.com with Tony Rees.
Hurrah. Now, I'm not sure, gentlemen, whether we've actually sorted out a final catchphrase to wrap up with. Just as Fly Me to the Moon, our sister podcast for Borough fans, always has Come on Borough and Up the Borough. I appreciate it as a Sheffield Wednesday fan, Tony, you're going to have to deal with you with that. Feel the same as a Man City fan either. But
can't get on board with that one.
Exactly. We could, of course, simply say, on your bike, which would obviously reference a history aspect in certain sort of things. We could say, keep cycling. I haven't really thought of anything else. Tony Rees, any thoughts of a little catchphrase we can wrap up this podcast with?
Keep cycling would be a good start.
Keep cycling. Yeah, it's just two words. It keeps it simple. Two words, two wheels. So
The team hashtag is the team that rock.
Oh,
so,
well.
That would fit with the...
In fact, having mentioned that, Tony, how can people actually access Boom podcasts, apart from obviously listening to it as they are at present, but what's the best way forward to find out about how the team are going on and Sarah Walker and others?
If you follow us on, look us up on the usual social media sites, Instagram, Facebook. And
so Mark Zuckerberg's one. Isn't he in trouble for that?
Don't worry, Mark.
We'll save you. The Boom Pod team will save you.
We'll not share anybody's information.
Exactly.
Basically, just type in Boompod Zedco NRG in a search, and you'll find us. It's all linked together, and you'll see on the different platforms different images of the team and different updates, and you'll find out about the Tour de Yorkshire full team lineup quite soon, and the Tour Series lineup quite soon.
And hashtag the team that rock, obviously, because the podcast contains music and cycling news.
Mm-hmm.
Genius. But I still think keep cycling. Nice and simple, really. It sort of says
keep cycling with the team that rock.
Whoa. This is Shakespearean epic. This is almost as though we're back into the days of
we're now in a planning meeting.
Exactly. This is an on-air planning meeting, just working through that. Keep cycling with the team that rock. Okay, gentlemen, if you're ready for it after three, a one, two, three, keep cycling with the team that rock.
You're listening to the Boom Podcast, brought to you by Southside Broadcasting, in association with Boom Pod's EDCO NRG Cycling Team, the team that rock.